Blog Talk Radio.
This is the ACAC Radio Network, and welcome to Ministry Beat, a show designed to highlight the latest happenings at Allegheny Center Alliance Church, a vibrant urban congregation located in the heart of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. This program will focus on the latest emphasis at ACAC known as Expanded Influence, especially the three C's of communication, campus expansion, and church planting. And now, here is your host, John Stanko.
Well, hello out there in Internet ACAC Radio Land. This is John Stanko, your host for Ministry Beat, and we're back again in a chronological time sequence. We just did a show yesterday, but of course, you're probably listening to this not live, but as via podcast, so that has no relevance to you. But the joy for me is I get to do it 2 days in a row and get to, especially today, talk about expanded influence with someone who, a colleague and a friend, someone I admire and respect, Pastor Blaine Workman. We'll be bringing him on here in just a second. I was down on campus today at ACAC doing some video recording. What we are attempting to do, what the pattern we are falling into is a short video that we are capturing Saturday night or pre-recording and playing Saturday night. And then, unfortunately, we don't have a chance to play it in the Sunday services, but then that transitions over to our social media, and so we are posting those and notifying you and any interested party of when those things are available. And so that's kind of what's unfolding, and then we're doing these podcasts, these radio shows, and we've got a couple of other ideas. We're doing longer videos, and one of those and we're trying to keep those at about 27 minutes long. I've already done one with Pastor Blaine on that. Today's recordings were a couple of short ones that we will be using for Saturday nights, and then, of course, releasing them to the general public after that. But it's an exciting day, an exciting hour, of course, in our time frame of when we are recording these. We are saddened, have been saddened by the news of the passing of Pastor Rock's daughter, Shannon Ed, who, again, in the context of live broadcast, tomorrow will be her viewing and Saturday will be a private funeral. So we were going to talk to the elders the other night about expanded influence, but the news was so fresh and impacted people so deeply. For many knew Shannon. She'd been in the church as long as Pastor Rock for 32 years, had grown up there basically, and so it really hit home to many people. So let me go ahead and bring Pastor Blaine on, because I want to make a comment about that. Pastor Blaine, welcome to Ministry Beat, where we get a chance to talk about expanded influence.
John, good to be back with you.
Yeah, it's but you know, it is sad, as I mentioned, but that's part of our urgency for expanded influence. There are a lot of lives out there that need to be touched. We're certainly not the only ones trying to touch them, but we certainly want to reach our share, because life is uncertain and we never know what's going to bring. Isn't that correct?
Well, it absolutely is correct. None of us is guaranteed tomorrow. I mean, I think it's true to say none of us deserves tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
But as long as we have the opportunity to share Christ with people and share a prospect, not for this life only.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so thankful in this week in particular, as you mentioned, as we grieve with our pastor and his family. No, we don't grieve as those who are without hope. And
mm-hmm.
and that's because we have good news to share. So
mm-hmm.
yeah, there is an urgency about sharing that good news with as many as possible, because none of us is guaranteed tomorrow. Absolutely right.
Yeah. Yeah, and none of us are getting out of here alive, should Jesus tarry. And so the work is really urgent. This isn't This isn't a club. This isn't a social movement that we are involved in. We are involved in the Church of Jesus Christ. He purchased it with his blood, and therefore that news, that mission has to take front and center beyond our personal comfort, and certainly includes our discipleship, where we are learning how to live out our faith in Christ. But at the same time, we have a very urgent mission, and ACAC is trying very diligently to be true to that mission, and now as we are describing it through expanded influence. Pastor Blaine, you've been a leader. You've been on staff now for 13 or 14 years. Talk to us from your unique perspective, especially over the last couple of years. How did you see expanded influence emerge? How did you see it develop? Give us some of the high water points that have led us to this time when we are moving forward with so many exciting opportunities. But how did it emerge from your perspective?
Well, it was about 3 years ago Pastor Rock came to our team, and you and I were serving together on our leadership team at that point, John. He had been praying about the next step, and many of us had. Our leadership had been praying, God, what do you have for us next? Having been along for the ride as the Holy Spirit has been at work in our congregation for the last 30 years, seeing the influence that God has had through AC has been just such a privilege. If I can back up for just a moment, and 30 years ago when I first started attending with my wife Lynn, ACAC was a church of about 400, primarily suburban. I like to say white people who drove in from the suburbs, and it had no influence, kingdom influence, to speak of in this immediate community, in our urban community here on the north side. Being along and being a part of what God has been forming this congregation and giving us not only an influence here, but a significant influence in this community. I'm convinced, John, 30 years ago, no one would have noticed if ACAC closed its doors in this immediate community because we had no kingdom influence here. Today, I'm convinced that if ACAC were to close its doors, there would be weeping and gnashing of teeth in our local community just because of all of the blessing and peace that accrues to this community through the work of God in ACAC and through its people. And so there's been an incredible influence in this urban community. That's been an example throughout our denomination, the Christian and Missionary Alliance, the churches everywhere. And so about 3 years ago, as we were praying about that as a team, Pastor Rock listened, that I believe that God wants us not only to have an influence here in our own community and through our own people, but to have an expanded influence that goes well beyond ACAC and our North Side community and the members and folks who attend here. I believe he wants us to have an expanded influence. As we began to pray about that together, that various elements of that vision began to take shape. And so it's really the vision of expanded influence. That idea has taken shape then over the last 3 years as we've listened to God and put that matter before our leadership and our congregation, had others pray over it. Now it kind of takes the shape again of nine key elements, nine expressions that form the core of that vision.
And we're going to get into those. One of the things I was thinking as you were sharing, as we launch out and as we expand our influence and really highlight more of what God is doing in us and through us as a people, Paul wrote and said, I got to watch myself. He said, lest I try, you know, to teach and do all these things, yet I don't run the race very well myself. And that's maybe a poor paraphrase. But the first of the nine objectives that was really the Holy Spirit in us. And talk to us a little bit about that objective, and then talk to us about the 91 weeks with the Holy Spirit that we just launched. And I know I saw Nate today, and there were some pretty exciting and impressive numbers about people who have connected with Pastor Rock's first commentary on that. But just talk to us about the first objective and then how that's being fulfilled through 91 weeks.
Yeah, it really is silly to think that we would have an expanded influence apart from the work of the Holy Spirit in us. It really stems and flows from an empowering by God's Spirit, and that's not just true here. That's been true since the foundation of the church, hasn't it? Jesus told his disciples to go wait for in Jerusalem until they were endued power. They were empowered from on high for the work that he called them to, and so that same truth is our reality as well. We have to be empowered from on high. And so opening up fresh avenues for the work of the Holy Spirit in us is absolutely foundational to any thought that we might have that God could use us to help facilitate or to have an expanded influence, an expanded kingdom influence in this world. So it is foundational, and one of the ways that we wanted to encourage our congregation to begin to take their lives was an initiative we called 91 Weeks with Jesus. And we started that a little over 91 weeks ago. Actually, it was probably now about 110 weeks ago, almost a little over 2 years ago, we asked our congregation to take a journey through the scriptures together, to read through the whole Bible together. And we used a particular devotional tool that we had found effective that would help guide people through the scriptures and provide a reading list to do that. And we were trusting the Holy Spirit to use the inspired word of God, then to read it, but read it with a heart that was ready to obey. And interestingly, and it was exciting to see about 2,000 people join us on that journey. And many of them were kind of doing it together in groups. They would commit to hold one another accountable in groups. I did it with a number of people and asked them to read along with me. And we would text each other each day and just say, hey, I finished week one, day one, and keep people on the journey on that way. And so literally we had hundreds and hundreds of people that completed, many for the very first time, a devotional journey through the entire Bible over that period. And it was life-changing. I mean, the stories that we've my life. So this month we started again. We wanted to walk again through God's word. You know, every time that you read through God's word, John, God reveals new truth to you. He shows you things that you've never seen before, doesn't he?
Oh yes, for sure.
Yeah, and so we started again. We're calling. Following this fresh new journey, 91 weeks with the Holy Spirit, and then, as you mentioned in the question, in the lead up to the question, Pastor Rock is doing a discussion each week about let's focus on where we see the activity of the Holy Spirit in these passages. And yeah, the initial results have been encouraging, but I'm encouraged just to see again hundreds of people joining on this journey and walking mm-hmm. through the Word of God together.
Now that leads into one of the other objectives, and I'm skipping one. I'm going to number three, that said expanded influence will require that we develop new communications capacities to utilize technology and media for wider, more effective impact. And so I know we have taken steps to do that. I'm involved in some of that. But talk to us about how that particular objective came about and how we are going about achieving that, and perhaps what we can expect of what is yet to come.
Well, one thing, I'm so glad that you're involved in it, and actually this radio show is one expression of that, isn't it? Our blog radio just is one of those new expressions. We felt if we were to have an expanded influence, we needed to take advantage of all of the tools and opportunities that are now available to God's people to communicate His word in ways that we haven't used before or haven't used effectively before. Certainly, with the prominence of the internet and online communication, social media in our world today, to think that we were going to have an expanded influence and not utilize those tools would be foolish, especially if we
yeah.
wanted to have an expanded influence with this next generation. In order to communicate the gospel, we need to communicate in using the language and the tools that people are using, and certainly so much of that is different than it was 15 or 20 years ago. And as you well know, we served together on the staff here and dealt with Cation as a congregation was centered around being together in one place on Sunday morning, being together in our services and what we communicated there, what we communicated in print to people who were physically in attendance. And God has just opened up so many doors to communicate mm-hmm. with people who may live half a world away. And we've seen that even with our messages that are posted online without doing anything really to promote the availability of our weekly sermons online. We've seen those sermons go all across the world and in 50 some different countries and tens and tens of thousands of people all over the world that are listening to the sermons from Allegheny Center Alliance Church. Imagine the impact that we could have if we actually took those resources and promoted them, made them easily available, made it easy for people to find them. So all of these thoughts are part of the idea that our communication abilities, the tools that we use, are a key element of expanded influence. And one of the first elements, John, because it's part of the infrastructure we'll be using to expand our influence in so many of these other areas. If you have those communication tools available and you want to talk about mentoring the next generation or something, now you have new ways to do it. So
right.
we really see communications as a key foundational and infrastructure tool, one of the first elements that we wanted to focus on.
Yeah, and I've been making my appeals that we have 52 Sundays, we have 65 minutes, We want good word. We want good worship. We need to stay up to date on the current things that are happening at ACAC. And there's no possible way we can give everybody enough information with those 65-minute encounters, plus people don't attend every week. So we miss weeks, and to the staff, the labor intensity it would take to put those things in print. I went over today to do some recording, and there is Bev Rader folding up the 91 Weeks with the Holy Spirit handouts that we do. We cannot do it. And plus, if we did it all in print, that is so sterile. We miss the interaction of dialogue. We miss the capturing of the spirit of a presentation, whether it's done through audio or video. So I tell people, I don't think this is too much for Jesus to ask that we give ourselves perhaps a little bit more to social media, to other forms of informational technology to help us understand as a people, as Allegheny Center Alliance Church, as a congregation, what God is doing and what he would have us to do. So it just makes perfect sense to me. Of course, I've used these things for years because I do use them to keep in touch with my own constituency, people who follow my message and who follow my travels. So this just makes so much sense. And of course, we've incorporated now a director of communications, and Nate Boersma is on staff. But that's not a small commitment, because now that's another staff position, isn't it, Blaine? And you would be very aware with the budget that has long-term implications for us, doesn't it?
Well, it does, and Nate's not going to do this alone. I mean,
right.
The reality is, to do this effectively, many churches on our side have several systems
mm-hmm.
of communication. So again, it's building an infrastructure around communication. But first, there's that commitment to say we need to do communications differently. We can't just
mm-hmm.
rely on the tools that we've used in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And John, I just want to say thank you for being a champion of these very ideas here for years. You have led the charge on trying to lead our church into the 21st century when it comes to this matter of communication. And I just appreciate your vision in that.
Well, thank you. Yes, sometimes it's been kicking and screaming, but this expanded influence has forced us, not forced us, but it just makes so much sense. It is so natural to be able to utilize those tools, many of which, yes, while we have to have some labor intensity to make them work, many of them are free. And I know even this week, as we've put out the word about Pastor Rock's family sadness, my goodness, we've connected with thousands of people. Thousands of people are praying for Pastor Rock and the Dilliman and the Ed families, and many of them don't even know, haven't been to ACAC, but it's because we've been building relationships through the other media that it has occurred. Today I was down and we did some videos on church planting. And the question I keep asking, I've asked Pastor Sheldon, I've asked other people, I'll ask you. We're talking about expanding our footprint, about bricks and mortar, of enhancing our north side presence. Why would we even then think? Isn't it counterproductive or working against what we're trying to do by talking about planting churches in other communities and other areas of our region?
Well, let's understand a couple of things. First, the ACAC has a rich tradition of church planting. Early in our history as a congregation, most of the CNMA churches in the Pittsburgh area, the ministry at ACAC and our founding pastor, Dr. E.D. Whiteside, So we have a church planting in our DNA and a rich history there. As for the question of why church planting, I think it's clear, and listen, study after study has shown this, the best way to reach people in other communities is not to try to draw them to your own church some distance away, but the best way to reach people with the good news of Jesus in other communities is to put an expression of God's kingdom, a new church, in that community itself. And so this is really about the best way to see the gospel planted and see the kingdom of God take root in other local communities. And our focus here at ACAC, I know, will be on other diverse communities, other urban communities that will benefit from sharing the experience we've had here on the north side of Pittsburgh. And those communities are often places where the church has abandoned, the churches have left and moved out to what looks like greener grass, maybe in suburban communities or whatever. But we're going to focus on some of those urban communities that have largely been neglected by the church for many years, and they're mm-hmm. often communities of great need. People need the gospel. They need to know, and they need to know God's peace and His provision. They need this message, and the churches have largely abandoned those communities. We want to plant mm-hmm. churches back in those communities as the best mm-hmm. way to reach the people who live there.
Yeah, one of my favorite church planting experiences was when I was doing a lot of work in South Africa. There was a large church in Johannesburg, and they probably ran 3,000 or 4,000 people on Sunday morning. So they wanted to plant a church up in Pretoria. So they actually identified 1,000 people who left the main church and went up to Pretoria to start that church. And Blaine, on the first Sunday that they met, they did not have any diminishing of attendance in the main church, and they had a new congregation of 1,000 people north of where the original church was. Now, I'm not saying that's what we're going to do, but my point is that there's no loss when you do that. Somebody had to plant Allegheny Center Alliance Church on the north side, and look
right.
at the fruit 130 years later. So we're just looking to replicate that if we're led by the Spirit and God, and we are, and God takes us to another part of the city. The upside is we don't lose anything. We gain a whole lot more. Would you agree with that?
I would not only agree with that, but I would say, although I love the story of 1,000 people, I've not heard of a church plant with that many as part of the sending
mm-hmm.
team, but I've heard
mm-hmm.
that principle repeated over and over and over again. We sent a team, 50, 75, 100,
mm-hmm.
150
mm-hmm.
people out to plant a church, and now our church has grown bigger than it was before, and it happens
yeah.
so quick as you're focused outward, taking the gospel out to people. You just find God draws that's a draw for growing your own church. It's not a negative at all. I agree entirely. John, are we still together?
Hello, John? Hello, John, did I lose you? Hello? John, are you still there? John, are you there? Hello?
Yep, there we go. So, nope. So,
John?
Well, there you are. Now I can
John?
Hear you. Yep.
Okay, there we go. I'm
yep,
sorry,
we're
I don't
back
know
up
what happened.
I don't know either. So, we it was looking strong on my end, but that doesn't mean anything. So it could have been some signal from my end. But, you know, Pastor Blaine, I've been sharing. I think I brought everybody up to speed on church planting and the purposes and the reasons for it. I wanted to touch on one more of the nine objectives, and of course we can do more if you want. But jumping ahead to number nine was missions, partnerships, and engagements. And I know this is something you are particularly passionate about. And it's not always something that's on a local church's radar, especially an urban church, that where the tendency is to take care of the tremendous needs that are in the community. Talk to us about expanded influence, as is it expressed by missions partnerships.
Well, you're exactly right about the urban church phenomenon. So many times for urban churches, the needs in their own community are so great that it's easy to lose sight of the commission that we have to take the gospel to every people group on earth. And that commission is certainly a part of the years that it's part of our denominational DNA in the Christian and Missionary Alliance. It's literally our middle name. And at ACAC, we have seen mission partnerships as a key way to connect our congregation to this work of taking the gospel to every people, tribe, and tongue, to every people group on earth. And so we literally have established partnerships with missions works all over the globe. Many of them are missions initiatives of the Christian Missionary Alliance, but others are works of other organizations, but still effective at reaching other people groups and other cultures all around the world. And so I know you will be headed out again to Kenya here in the weeks ahead, and taking a group with you to that part of the world. And I just had a conversation talking strategy with our denominational leaders and our team doing a significant medical mission in the country of Gabon yesterday, the African nation of Gabon. And so it's a key part of who we are. And as an urban church, Sean, let me just add one element to this, but I think it's so significant. And I know that you believe passionately in this. As an urban congregation, I do think one of the opportunities that we have is to help so many of our African American brothers and sisters to engage in a different level, in a different way, in this work of so often, again, in so many of our African American churches, our urban churches, the focus is on the need in the local community, which are often so great, and that's appropriate. That's entirely appropriate for those congregations. But I always think churches need to think in a both and type of both and mentality. It's both addressing the needs in my own community, but it's also participating in our Lord's Great Commission mandate to take the gospel to every people group, to the ends of the earth, Jesus said later in Acts 1:8. And it's a both and. It's kind of like the conversation we had earlier about church planting. When you plant a church in another community, your own church grows. Well, that very same dynamic holds true in mission. When you reach out and take what happens locally, your own church grows. And so that dynamic's just so important and so real.
Let me just interject, too, and I make this point in many of the interviews that I've done. I know you agree with this, but I'm going to say it anyway, that this isn't about us. It's not about, oh boy, you know, ACAC having a charm bracelet and look how many churches we have and look how many missions we have. We are at no point saying we are better than anyone else, but we are saying there's some unique distinctives that set us apart from many other churches, that and people need to see the incarnational presence of the Lord, the Word made flesh among us, and that's church planting, that's the media, that's expanded footprint in on the north side. But it's not about us at any time, is it? We're not saying we're better than other churches or other people.
Absolutely not. And nor is it about extending our brand. As you know, this isn't a marketing concept for Allegheny Center Alliance Church. This is a vision about expanding the kingdom influence, and using what God's taught us here and simply having an influence elsewhere. In fact, John, you know that we have so many other churches now that come to us and say, hey, help us think through how to better do urban ministry, how to do various things that they've seen the Lord bless in our congregation. Yep. They say, help us learn how to do that better, and we're thrilled to do that.
And we're not marketing that. We're not putting a price on that. We have freely received. We have freely given in every and any situation where we have sensed the Lord leading us to do so. And we just see this as a natural progression. Biblically, Jesus said, to whom much is given, much is required. We, for whatever reason, God has given ACAC a lot of good things that we enjoy. They're so good that he would want us to share them with other people, and hopefully we can see them replicated and surpassed and made even better in the communities and the situations where those churches and people are involved. Pastor Blaine, I want to talk about one more initiative in our time together, and that's expanding influence means creating additional opportunities and spaces on our Northside campus where people can find Jesus and follow Jesus as part of our faith community. We've talked about church planting, we've talked about missions, but there is a major component of expanded influence that is involving our presence and our physical space on the north side. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, we refer to that element as our the campus redesign, and there are a number of significant pieces to that campus redesign. One is an incredible blessing that we're seeing the Lord open up before us, and that has to do with the back space on our campus. And keep in mind, for those who can't visualize our campus, the entire campus is less than 3 acres. And the back part of that is a parking lot that holds a little over 100 cars. And we've been approached by a large local hospital, Allegheny General Hospital, and their parent organizations to build a parking garage on that back lot that they would pay for and finance, and to allow them to use the bulk of that lot during the daytime for their employees at the health system, but then every evening and weekend to have 750 spaces in this garage made available to us. That would be such an incredible blessing, not only to our church during the times when we're most active, evenings and weekends, but it would be an incredible asset for us to be able to offer to the community as well for community events on a Saturday in the park. Listen, we have all the parking that you need, and it's just available to you. So a key element is a building that we plan to construct right in the middle of our campus that connects all of our other buildings and provides incredible ministry spaces right in the heart of our campus. We're referring to that at the present time as just the campus hub as a generic name for that. But this hub building would have a couple of key reasons for seeing that develop. One is we are going to very shortly need new spaces for our children's ministry. We have about 24,000 square feet in an office building across the street that we will be losing that space in the near future, within the next couple of years. And so we need to move our children's ministry back onto our own campus and provide those spaces for our kids. But a second key reason behind that campus hub is is simply to connect all of our spaces and buildings and make our campus more less complex for people who come to visit here. Right now, if you bring your family here for the very first time, your family could literally be split up in three or four separate buildings for Sunday morning worship. And it's very confusing. It's very complex for families to know who goes where, especially if they're new. This campus hub would help connect our buildings, would help help us make it understandable for people to know where to go, help make all those spaces handicapped accessibility of understanding how to worship here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I talked with Pastor Ken Turnbull today, and interviewing him, he said, we need to bring our children home. And I've interviewed Gwen, and she talks about the same thing, because what we ask, the hoops we ask our people to jump through, so to speak, to get their kids settled and then them come and enjoy a worship experience and maybe go to a small group, then go retrace all their steps to reclaim their kids. I'm surprised some parents just don't leave the kids there for the week and pick them up, you know, the next week, have us feed them and take them to school. But, you know, and I think it's a testimony to God's presence in our midst and the quality of ministry that especially our children's ministry, our youth ministry has provided, that people have done this. But we can't expect that everybody's going to do this, some children with disabilities or their parents, inclement weather. This is not just a matter of convenience, and we don't want to get wet by the rain anymore, is it? This is really about streamlining ministry so we can be more effective.
Well, it really is. It's about I like to say we are the most complex church in the city of Pittsburgh. We are just hard to understand, and it's about simplifying that, and it's simplifying that for our existing families, but again, think about how daunting the obstacles are for a new family to come and try to figure out where everyone is supposed to worship here, and then figure out the schedules to reconnect families. I think Pastor Ken is right on bringing our families home, simplifying that process, just allows people to focus on coming here to worship and engage with God and experience His presence and not have to manage schedules and times and, you know, walk across four-lane highways to get children after church.
Yeah, and if our space is up, and we've been very clear, this is not a problem with our landlord. They just need to do some different things. They've been very cooperative with us. But if we're going to bring the children's presence back over to the main campus from across the street, then we should do it right. We only have one chance to do this, and what we are looking to do, should the Lord tarry, is establish something that will be here for the next generation and the generation after that, long after we're gone. ACAC can continue the work that God has given it to do. So it's a matter of practicality, but if it's a time that we have to do that, then let's do it right. Pastor Blaine, what else? And what have I missed? What else would you like to say to our listeners about this Expanded Influence Initiative, your involvement in it, what it means to you, what you think is coming? And this is not the last time we're going to have you on, because you are a wealth of history and information, and your commitment to level of you and your family is second to none. But what else would you say as we wrap this particular session up?
Well, I just like to say that this is an exciting time to be a part of the ACAC church family. Again, I opened our conversation, John, by just talking about being here 30 years ago and how exciting it's been to be here as God has transformed our congregation. I think that this time is perhaps even a more exciting time to be a part of this church family. God's doing significant things here. He's preparing us, as you mentioned a moment ago, for the next generation, the next season of ministry. That season of ministry is going to have an impact far beyond what we known to this point. It's about expanded influence, not just maintaining influence or preserving influence, but expanding influence. And just in the things that we've talked about today, communications, church planting, the expanded influence in our own community on this, on a redesigned campus, and missions partnerships. And we haven't touched on several other things that, that really impact some of the local community.
Right.
What a great time to be involved here.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't have to do this. We get to do this. And God has uniquely chosen us. This configuration, the people who are part of ACAC right now, God has brought for such a time as this. And we have to be faithful time. We can, well, you know, I didn't choose this. God doesn't have to speak to everybody. He speaks to our leadership because we are a people. And then we ask the Lord, we get on board, and this is an opportunity that we have that is very similar to those when the congregation was first started, when the facilities were built on the present site where we are. So it's a privilege to be involved, and we are very grateful that we have leaders like you who have are not just on staff, you're members of ACAC. You're a part of the family, and we have every confidence that you are hearing from the Lord, and we are excited. So thank you for what you do. Thank you for your leadership, and you will come back on future shows and fill us in more about what's going on, won't you?
Hey, I will look forward to it then, and I thank you for this time. I'm sorry we had that little blip in the middle, but we'll see if we can't cure that for the next time.
Yeah, and believe me, I filled in admirably. I said things you didn't even believe. You didn't even know you believed. So I made you look good, even when you weren't on the
air. The show got so much better at that point.
I mean, the listenership went up by about, you know, 50%. So, all right, Pastor Blaine, we'll be in touch. Thanks again.
Thanks, John. God bless.
All right. Bye-bye. Pastor Blaine Workman does so, just a linchpin, so involved in what we do, loves ACAC with a passion, loves what he's doing, has no plan B, no ulterior motive except to see Christ glorified and ACAC and its and this people centered and focused in the will of God. Well, that wraps it up for this show. It is a little longer than some of the other ones we've done, but as I've said to you, we cannot communicate these things in 10 minutes, and we've got to do dig a little deeper and go a little further. So thank you for listening. Thank you for participating. Next week I'll be recording Pastor George Furman. I want to get his perspective on expanded influence from Adult Life Ministries. And so we're going to keep communicating with you and tell your friends about Ministry Beat and about expanded influence. And if you have any questions, please don't hesitate to get in touch with me, as we will give you the email address in the close. So that's it for now. Thanks again for listening. Thanks, Pastor Blaine, and we will be back with you again very soon. So long for now.
Thanks again for listening to this edition of Ministry Beat with your host, John Stanko. Join us again soon on the ACAC Internet Radio for more insight into and information about the Expanded Influence Initiative at Allegheny Center Alliance Church. You can also access this show by going online to www.acacreach.com. If you have any questions concerning expanded influence or with ideas for future shows, you can write John at john.stanko@acac.net. JOHN.STANKO. Thank you, and tell your friends about Ministry Beat.